Hello, today is April 13th, 2023. Tomorrow, April 14th, is the 3-year anniversary of this podcast, so I thought I would throw that quick mention in here just in case I don't put anything up tomorrow. So I've had a lot of stories, a lot of experiences that I just haven't gotten around to talking about on the show. So normally I like to keep things in chronological order, but I'm going to kind of go back and talk about some different stories. So today's story is about the very first play I was in. So I talked a little bit about the 24-hour play festival I was in, and that does count as a play. It was a play, but it was like 10 minutes. And I signed up for this play first. That's what the audition episode was about. That was for this play. And it was a fantastic experience. Definitely not one I'm probably going to be able to have again because it's just such a unique set of circumstances. Our show, our school typically likes to do all the shows in the fall, but this year we had a spring show, so this technically counts as a spring play because normally we have 3 fall plays and then a spring musical, but this year we had 2 fall plays, our show, and then we have the musical that's going on right now. I'll talk about that in a later episode. But this play was a really unique experience because we started working on it like the first Friday of school. So we had rehearsal every Friday. So for 7 months, we worked on the show for 7 months. Normally, I feel like that's really long for a show, as far as I'm aware. I don't know, like my sisters are in drama. I've not heard of anyone else being a part of a show, working on a show for that long. Definitely a rewarding experience. So the play we were doing is called A Midsummer Night's Dream. It's a Shakespeare play. And I'm going to really badly explain the plot. So there's this fairy king and fairy queen, and they kind of love each other. It's definitely implied. And the fairy king is like, all right, I'm going to play a prank on my crush or whatever she is to him. I'm going to play a prank on the fairy queen. So the fairy king is playing a prank on the fairy queen, and he gets this love juice out of this flower. So this flower has this love juice that will make, basically you put it on someone's eyelids when they're sleeping, and when they wake up, whoever they see first, they fall in love with. So basically what happens is the fairy king has the love juice put on these people, and then it messes up this love square that was going on. So character A likes character B, but character B likes character D, and character C likes character B. So it's like a love square of sorts, and essentially the fairy king completely messes up this love square, and the universe is ending. Great, fantastic. Now in the meantime, here comes my character. I'm the director of a play. We're working on our play because the Duke and the Duchess are getting married. So then one of our members gets somehow brought into the Fairy King's plan. He turns into a donkey. He disappears. But then he comes back. Our play is selected for the Duke and the Duchess wedding. And then we perform it for them. And it goes very terribly. But everything works out for the lovers. The Fairy King fixes his mistake. So definitely an interesting plot. I have not been around the theater world for very long. But definitely I've noticed that a great deal of plays have the like strangest plots. Like when you explain them, and that was a good explanation, because I know there's like those things online that's like explaining a movie terribly, but that is the plot of the show. Like that is the serious plot of the show. Again, it's a little more nuanced, a little more mature, but that is the play. We literally did a play about love juice and a play about a play. I was the director of a play in a play. Someone actually wrote in our school newspaper an article about me, which I don't know how to feel. It was like weird seeing my name in the newspaper. But essentially, they covered in that article the truth of the matter that having Shakespeare as your very first play is not very easy. Not very easy, because here's the thing about Shakespeare. So you'll see a sentence. Do you ever like read a sentence, or if you're reading a word or you're writing and you try and spell a word and you're like, but that spelling does not look right. That's what Shakespeare feels like. You say something and it feels so incredibly unnatural. It feels like, what did I just, like, what scramble of the alphabet just came out of my mouth? Like, I remember the cold read we had, like, 2 rehearsals in. And I literally had a seizure trying to read one of my monologues. Like, it, oh my goodness. It's just like, it's a tangled chain that somehow beautifully comes together to make sense. But the thing is, I probably sat and listened to the show about 13 times before I fully understood what was going on. So that's another thing with the audience, is you almost have to like tell them what to feel, because I feel like half the time, and everyone I talk to, like half the time they had no idea what we were saying, because like they could hear us fine. It was just like, what? Like, what did you just say? So that was a challenge. So as I was recording this episode, I went back and looked through this. We have this massive shared album of videos we took. We really started taking a lot of videos like at the start of this calendar year of the process of the show. Now, to be honest, a lot of like the actual show part, it's fun. It's also frustrating. It's also a lot of hard work. But what you really sign up for a show is there's all these just little moments that happen because you're all together and because you're all these like bubbly, like all over the place personalities. Like, I saw a video of one of the guys on the floor, and it was kind of like one of those you have to be there moments, but I remember we were all laughing. Or one of my friends, Grace, she was going around taking videos and like interviewing people. And in one of these videos, I was trying to make a hand gesture and accidentally smack someone in the face. Closer to the show during tech week, they had a lightsaber fight because we were having our photo day and they had the light bars, and someone's like, those look like lightsabers. So people start having a lightsaber fight and they played the music. It's all these little moments that really make the experience worthwhile. So my character was named Peter Quince. Like I said, I was the director. But our Demetrius, which is one of the lovers I mentioned, like in the love square, he was in another play because he's very experienced. So that he was casted in another play earlier. So in the early parts of our rehearsal process, we don't have understudies at my school. I don't know. Don't ask me. Ask my director. I don't know why we don't have understudies, but we don't. But I was sort of this understudy. I got to play with being like, I got to play his character. I honestly, very close, he probably played his character about 10% more than I played his character. And there were times where I wished I could be recast as that character, but there was also times where I'm glad I wasn't. I think that right there really taught me to trust my director, because I honestly thought like, hey, like I could do this. I could be this guy. But then when the real guy came and I saw his chemistry with the other people, I'm like, oh, that makes sense. So over this process, I just learned like, just trust your director. They know what they're doing. They can see things you can't. And like, sometimes I would think something looks a certain way from my point of view, but it looked completely different for them. The process of memorizing lines was probably the most love-hate, because once I learned my lines, it just felt so good. But I remember me and a friend of mine, she and I would FaceTime and work on our lines. And I remember for both of us distinctly, there was multiple occasions where there was different lines we couldn't get, and like either one of us would be banging our head on the wall, like, how are we ever gonna make it? And I think honestly, that sort of struggle is what makes the end of the show such a payoff. And that leads into the whole Tech Week experience, because Tech Week is a beast, because you're going all day, and at least in high and middle school, I know they like give you the week off of school, but not in high school. You still got everything else going on. And so you're at school all day, and like everyone like does not smell great. Neither do the costumes. Cause you think about it, you have to wear one piece of clothing, and what happens when you're nervous? You sweat. So everyone is sweating all day wearing the same clothes for like a week straight. Not a great recipe for success. Neither is giving a bunch of people Mexican food when they're nervous. One night they served us Mexican food, and that was a mistake. Let's just say I was glad when I left that room. But it was, I think, the worst part about a play, probably, like the actual play, is waiting around for your cue. Because I go on the second scene. The first scene's like 10 minutes. So I wait 10 minutes, walk on, wait about 8 minutes, walk on. Then I don't have a scene for 45 minutes. Then there's intermission. So for about an hour, I'm literally just like chilling. I don't know if it's an hour, somewhere between 45 minutes to an hour. Then I go on for like 2 pages. Then I have the big scene where I have this monologue. And so the structure of the show was, we had a Thursday show, a Friday show, 2 Saturday shows, and then that was it. So the Thursday show, I mean, at this point, we've been working for this for like 7 months. We're ready. Like, we're pumped. There's almost this pressure of like, we've been working on this so long, it needs to be good. Everyone was high energy. W. Friday, the energy was a little lower because we had to be at school all day. We don't go to school every day, but Fridays, I know for me, are 9 to 5. The Saturday matinee was the worst show. It was absolutely terrible. Absolutely just not good. We were lacking in energy, and I know me specifically, I was just like saying my lines, and like you couldn't even tell what I was like saying. Oh my gosh. The only thing better than us was the crowd. The crowd. Because sometimes, like, I'm not that experienced, but I know from being in crowds, like sometimes you want to like pity laugh almost. Not even a pity laugh. I remember just like looking into the audience one time, just like scanning faces, and like they were all just like, oh my goodness. Oh my gosh. And then to get energy levels, and to make things worse, our director wasn't there because she had to attend a funeral. Really sad. I mean, like, it's not like we needed her. Like, we needed her, but didn't need her. But to bring energy levels up before our 7 o'clock show, so the matinee was like 2, before the 7 o'clock show, we had a dance party, and we did the wobble, which is a classic for Tech Week, but then we did some Taylor Swift. They played You Belong With Me. I went crazy. I actually ended up going a little too crazy. So one thing you may not know about me, because you only hear me in this like enclosed recording. None of my episodes have gone really long except like the camp episode like 2 years ago. But my voice, I can talk for hours and hours and hours and hours, but I can yell for like a total of like 3 minutes. And then my voice is shot. This is a problem when I have to project like approximately, I don't know how many lines I had, but when you have to project the amount of lines I had and you have to be loud so the whole theater hears you because you're not mic'd up. This was a little bit of a problem. My voice was dying. And I had the like the frog in your throat thing. I get it from my mom, where I have to go like, ahem! I'm sure you've heard listening to my voice. That was such a problem. Tech Week was like all over the place. Just like the whole show. It was so much fun. And so here's my plan. Freshman year, I did theater. Sophomore year, I'm going to play football. So we're about to start football season, playing football. We're going to see if there's a world where both of those work, but probably not. If we then junior year, we're going to decide and like stick to one. So why am I talking about myself as we? Okay, so I'm going to decide. Do I want to play football junior year or do I want to hone in on theater? Because I think I'll be in the musical next year, but not any plays. So we'll see how that goes. But the show was just a fantastic experience all over the place. And it's one of those things where honestly, like going to rehearsal, like most days I was not trying to go to rehearsal. But the collective, just everything, like everything collectively made the experience worth it. Will I do it again? I want to, but you just can't do everything. I wish I could. I wish like football and theater like didn't conflict with each other, but they do. So that's just a world I have to live with. And as you can see, an incredibly difficult decision I'm wrestling with between two loves. That's going to do it for this episode. Happy 3 years of Defying Physics. Tomorrow, but you'll probably be listening to this on April 14th. So happy 3 years of Defying Physics. Thank you so much. I'll be back very, very soon.